Part 5. Dog Years.
Chapter 39. Rex. Hart used to talk about this place. This was where the robots went wrong. The world had finally remembered the Kashmir disaster and sent us in to deal with it. People made this place a war zone once by bringing their things to it. Then, the things made it a war zone and people couldn't stop them. Now people have turned to us, who are part people and part thing, to destroy the things and reclaim this part of the world for people. Of course, it's not that simple. I am in Kashmir for the United Nations Augmented Task Force. Of those bioforms in active military service, over 75% are contracted to the UN. We first saw service in the water wars, with a combination of rapidly escalating military measures and a large civilian population undergoing great privation. Regular UN troops had suffered losses in both symmetrical and asymmetrical engagements, and thousands of people were dying as a result of the bombing of desalination plants. I know the opportunity to deploy us there was created by Humas, via her UN unit, Maria Helen. I was the one who went to them, though. I met with Kiram John Aslan, my lawyer, and I told them that my pack would work with them. I told them that 5 other large packs would work for them, too. With Humas' assistance, I had been talking with the other big dogs in the world. They said yes, because they saw we were expendable. If a human soldier was killed, it was a tragedy. If 100 bioforms were killed, that was a statistic. We saved many lives in the water wars. Some of us died. But we can detect explosives, and we can detect when we are lied to. We are hardier than humans, more proof against bullets and thirst. The PTSD, because we saw many terrible things that people had done and that the war had done after the people had gone. Disease, landmines, refugees and broken families. We put it all back together when, as Humas says, all the men and horses had failed to. After that, I sat and watched the news reports and told myself and my people, good dog. After that, the UN created the UNET and gave us humans to report to and take orders from. Some of them think of themselves as masters, but my lawyer keeps all the paperwork straight, and when we say no, then it is no. Every time we are deployed, the world waits to see if we will turn out to be monsters. Every time we have taken strength from each other, from honey, from Humas, even under the worst of provocation. This Kashmir mission is hard. Sometimes it is hard because the old war machines are still powerful and dangerous, although mostly they ran out of ammunition long ago. Many have died, just hulks rusting on the roads, in the hills and at the heart of abandoned villages. Sometimes it is hard because we have to make choices. I remember when having to make choices scared me more than anything else except Master being angry with me. Now I know that making choices is the price of being free. We have a special liaison with us today. She is one of Humas' new units. She looks like a human female of age 17. The human soldiers with us do not know what to make of her. They have been told she is augmented, like us. I am not sure what Humas has told UNAT Command. Probably some of it was not true. She will not have told them that she is a human distributed intelligence network. Probably she created a cover for herself as some manner of surveillance operative. Humas is creeping up on the human world step by step. She does not trust them, and, unlike us, she can hide. Now she stares at nothing as her systems attempt to access the combat robot concealed within the settlement of Chandawari. We know it is active and dangerous because it fired rockets at us when we came close and injured 7 of my squad, 2 of whom will not recover. The rest of my force are all ready to move in and remove the threat, and my human officers think that I am just planning the assault. It is more complicated than that. My squad here are mostly dogs. Some are from my pack back in the pound, and others are newer models from factories in China and Germany and Colorado. I also have 2 rats for scout work, who were bred in Switzerland, and 1 mustelid, who was produced in a private laboratory in the United Kingdom and is the only example of his model in the world. The new dogs are faster and stronger than I am, a little. Certainly they are younger. They do not follow me because I could beat them in a fight. They follow me because of who I am. Some of them think of me as master when they think I am not paying attention. And sometimes I tell them, good dog. And even though there are no feedback chips, they are happy. This Humas unit calls herself Karen Sellers. She wears a different face to her sisters, in case anyone here knows Maria Helen back in the UN. She is frightened, as Humas units often are. I can tell now what parts of her scent are from what the unit feels, and what parts belong to the whole. It must be very confusing to her. I do not tell her not to fear. I have seen several of Humas units die. Sellers channel. Contact. My channel. With what? Sellers channel. Active intelligence. Data follows. I look over what she has sent me on our secure channel. And then we change encryption and frequencies because the war robot in the town is constantly trying to infiltrate any electronic connection it can detect. When I see it is different to the robots we have destroyed to date, they were automata, following corrupted programming within any sign of higher functions. This robot is host to something more. Sellers. Humas believes that a combination of the original hardware, software, and subsequent layers of viruses and corrupted code have spawned a genuine intelligence. That changes the mission for us, even if it does not change my orders from my human officers. The robot intelligence has no concept of the physical world. It lives in an entirely virtual space comprised of data from its various sensors and remote units. It has directives and priorities, and it has built up a worldview based on the very limited perspective its circumstances allow it. It does not know, for example, that when certain sensor data are received and trigger sections of its original command structure, it is actually detecting living beings in the physical world and killing them. My channel. Options. Of course, Humas has a plan. Or perhaps Sellers has a plan. She uploads it to my systems, and I consider it. I confirm it appears sound and within our capabilities. I indicate to my officers that we are ready to go in and deal with the threat. Some officers I have had were difficult and wanted to treat me like a thing, like the robots were treated. My officers here have seen enough of my work to appreciate me and my squad. I give out orders to the 20 members of my squad, the dogs, the rats, and Osborne the mutilid. We spread out and enter Chandawari swiftly, even as the machine within registers our presence and tries to fight us. It is low on ammunition and wastes 2 more rockets on my fast-moving squad members, missing both times. We are swifter than the human or machine enemies it was designed to combat, and we can mute our heat signatures to confuse its targeting. It is concealed within a partially destroyed temple, but when its rockets miss, it comes halfway out to shoot at us with its guns. It is the largest robot model we have yet seen. Projecting from the interior of the temple, it looks like a hermit crab in its shell. My dogs attract its attention and keep moving. We destroy its remote, eyes one by one. The rats creep in and place explosive on its exterior, aiming to destroy legs and weapons emplacements without damaging vital systems within. All the while, it is attacking our communications and attempting to hack our hardware, using custom algorithms that it has developed itself in advance of anything it was programmed with. We go calm silent, relying on scent for intra-squad messaging. Crude, but we cannot be fooled. The explosives go off, and it is driven from its shell, trailing broken legs and dragging its chassis on the ground. One gun is still shooting. Three of my people have been hit. None seriously. Humans would have died. Then Osborne has swarmed up the side of the robot and is using his tools to access it via weak points Sellers has identified. His teeth latch on with a bite that will survive his death if need be, and his human hands work. Sellers has a hardened connection to him that she is defending against the robot's attempts to hijack, and she directs him as he breaks into the robot's interior and begins to disable its systems. As soon as it stops actively fighting, we dogs come out and begin to tear off its legs and guns and anything else that could be dangerous. 1 hour later, Osborne has exited the interior of the robot, dragging out a jagged chunk of metal, which is the robot's mind. Sellers will bring it to the rest of Humas, who will attempt to rehabilitate it. No intelligence left behind, is what she says. When I reestablish full comms, there is a message waiting for me. I freeze for just a moment, because I have been engrossed in my work here and forgotten the wider world outside. I tell my officers that I have been recalled for a command conference, which is close enough to the truth. There is an electronic trail in place to bring me from Kashmir to Panama, and I do not know if it is real or if Humas has manufactured it. There is a little more work to do to reclaim the robot-controlled areas of the Kashmir, but I delegate. The worst of it is already past and dismantled. I have visitors back at HQ, old friends with a new mission.